Hello, and thank you for joining us today for our weekly broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. We are starting a new series today called Hard Questions, Solid Answers. This is a series of questions you have asked Pastor Dave throughout the years. Today's question is, can you lose your salvation? So let's listen in now as Pastor Dave answers this hard question with a solid answer.
I want you to go to Romans chapter 8. And I want you to remember this as we go through some of these things. We're going to refer back to this. I've heard people say that, well, you can't lose your salvation, but you can walk away from it. It won't be lost. You will do it intentionally. And so, all right, well, let's see what it says here in verse 37, Romans 8. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Paul says this, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, you can't lose your salvation, but you can walk away from it. It says here, no other created thing. You and I are created beings. So we ourselves can't separate us from the love of Christ once we have become a believer in the person of Jesus Christ. We can't do anything to hinder that at that point either. I want you to go to Jude, verse 24. Go to the last book, Revelation, then it's the book before that. It's a real short one. Speaking on the person of Jesus Christ, it says in verse 24, now to him, Jesus, who's able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That's a promise right there. He's able to keep you and he's going to present you faultless. That hinges on exactly what it says there in Philippians 1:6. Be confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it till the day of Christ Jesus our Lord. You'll be complete in him. He's able to keep you. God's power is able to keep the believer from stumbling, falling away. It's up to him, not us. And he's going to present us his glorious presence. That eternal security is a result of God keeping us, not us maintaining our own salvation. Now I want you to go to John chapter 10. This is going to be more or less my proof text that I branch everything out from. John chapter 10. Starting in verse 24, says, and the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. And so they literally surround him. They want an answer from him. So Jesus tells them plainly that he is the Christ through his works. They should be able to see that. But he tells them, here's the reason why you're not believing me. This is the reason. He says in verses 26 through 29, but you do not believe because you're not of my sheep. As I have said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. It seems pretty clear from this text that Jesus is saying here, is declaring here a promise that his sheep will never perish. That eternal life is pretty secure, and no one can remove them from his or his Father's grip. And so when Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, verse 27, it reminds me of John 5:24 when he says, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment but has passed from death into life. Now we know that the word believe there doesn't always mean believing in the way to saving faith. Because we're told in James that even the demons believe and they shudder. And so that doesn't lead them into saving faith. We're talking about a belief that is truly a belief that He is God, God sent Him, there's no way I can attain heaven except believing on the work that He has done on my behalf on the cross. That's the belief that's being spoken of here. He says, He who hears my word believes in Him who sent me has everlasting life. That means you believe everything that God has spoken of about His Son, and that Son is the person of Jesus Christ. You believe in the person who sent me, He said. That's God. That means you believe God's word and all that He says about the Messiah, and you believe it's Jesus whom God has sent. So you believe all of that, not some of it. You believe all of that. And if you do, you have everlasting life, and you shall not come into judgment, and you have passed from death into life. We're not talking about people who simply make a profession of faith, and then later on, you don't see any fruit whatsoever. The profession might be out of emotion, but it's not truly genuine. I want you to go to Luke chapter 8, which is equivalent to Matthew chapter 13. But in Luke chapter 8, some words are said. In Matthew's gospel, it says they received the word, or they received the word. But in Luke's account, it gives us a little bit more understanding of what's going on there with the parable of the sowers. In verse 4 of Luke 8, it says this, "And when a great multitude had gathered, they had come to Him from every city, He spoke by a parable. Sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed. Some fell by the wayside. It was trampled down. Birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock. As soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground. Sprang up, yielded a crop 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He who has an ear, let him hear.'" So he goes and explains what this parable is all about in verse 11. Now the parable is thus. The seed is the word of God. So we know what is being sown there. It's the word of God. Okay? "Those by the wayside," that's the hard way, "are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." So this isn't believing salvation, because their heart is already hard. One of the things I want you to notice is it never does it say, "And there are four good soils, and then one of the soils became hard. One of the soils became rocky. One of the soils became thorny." It doesn't say that. When the seed lands on the good soil, it produces fruit. And those are the only conditions of the heart that that person is a true believer. And so we have this first one, obviously not a true believer, they don't even believe. But the second one says, "But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word." See, Dave, they receive the word. "And these have no root and believe for a while." There's the qualifier. They believe for a while. That isn't true belief. True belief will endure to the end. You don't endure to the end to be saved, but those who are truly saved will endure to the end. There's the qualifier. They believed only for a while. Well, that's not true belief. That is not saving faith when you only believe for a while. "And the ones that fell among the thorns are those, when they have heard, go out and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity." Again, it speaks of how for a while and then it's gone. That's not saving faith. "But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." Never does the good ground ever become rocky ground. Never does the good ground ever become thorny ground. The good ground is good ground. And when you receive the word of God, when you truly do believe in all that God has said about His Son, you will be saved. You're the good ground, and you will be able to produce the fruit that God is speaking about. Going back here to John chapter 10, John Corson says this in his commentary, and I think this is really good. Speaking about the sheep hearing the shepherd's voice. He says, "You see, Jesus says, 'My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me.' He doesn't say lions hear my voice. He doesn't say my tigers, my bulls know me. No, he says my sheep. Creatures known for their stupidity. Creatures known for their tendency to wander. They are helpless. They're vulnerable. They're the ones that hear my voice, my sheep. His sheep cannot lose their salvation, but I tell you who can. Dogs who return to their vomit, pigs who go back and roll in the muck and the mire, but then again, they're not sheep. They're pigs and dogs. In 2 Peter 2:22, Peter says, "But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire." Okay, David, but what about the prodigal son? The prodigal son ended up in the pig pen. Yep, but he came to his senses, didn't he? He realized he didn't belong there. He decided instead to go home. See, the difference between a prodigal and a pig is the fact that although you can scrub a pig clean, as soon as you let him loose, what happens? He goes back to the wallow. Goes back to the mire and the muck and the mud. That's how you can tell the difference. And so, but here's the thing. If you're like the prodigal, you're not going to like the mud all over you. And you're not going to like the place that you're mucking it all up. You're not going to like that. And so if you're a prodigal, you're going to want to come home. And so there's the difference. There are many Christians who make a profession with no real belief in their heart. And so that sometimes brings a reproach on this whole topic of eternal security because, but he was a believer, she was a believer, but look where they are now. That tells me right now, if they're truly a believer, they're not going to want to stay there and they're going to come home. But if they don't come home, then that tells me they were not a believer to begin with, is what that tells me. Matthew 7, 21, 22, and 23 makes it very clear with Jesus when he says, there's going to be all sorts of people who come to me. And he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I at one time knew you. My Bible doesn't say that. My Bible says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Those who are truly saved by faith will do the will of God. But that's the interesting part. I never knew you. Well, if you're saved for a time and then you turn your back and you can walk away or lose your salvation, then that's not a true statement for Jesus to say, I never knew you. He should instead say, well, I used to know you, but I don't know you now. But he doesn't say that. He says, I never knew you, which tells me that that time that they're professing faith, they didn't really know him. Even though to us it looked like that they're professing faith and possibly did. He says, I never knew you. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so we know we're saved by faith alone. And we've been created for a reason in verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. For what reason? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so we need to make this perfectly clear. No one, our works have nothing to do with receiving eternal life. That is a gift from God through his son Jesus. However, no man shall have eternal life who's not manifesting good works. It's part of the thing here. I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Again, he doesn't say, I used to know you, but now I don't recognize you. He says, I never knew you. But yet, with his own sheep, he says, I know them. He says, I know them. Not everyone says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. I never knew you. But he says, my sheep know my voice, and I know them. He knows them. We got to keep that in mind. And if you think about that, then I think that you won't have any problem with the eternal security of the sheep. Jesus makes it very clear. He knows the sheep and they know my voice. And yet the ones that aren't truly a sheep, even though they said, but didn't I do this with you and say this in your name, cast out demons and preach, and I never knew you. And yet if you could lose your salvation, if you could walk away from your salvation, if you could depart from it, that means for a while you were with him and he would have known you. And you would have known him. But he says, I have never knew you. They might be working right next to us for all those years. And now they're in the world. What happened? What happened is that Jesus never knew them. It's one of the reasons in 1 John 2:19, John tells us this, that they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. I don't know another person's heart. I really don't. I look upon you guys here and I'm going, Lord, I really do think they're believers. I've seen fruit there, but I really don't know. But you know. And it could be 2 years from now that one of you is out doing something very heinous and wants nothing to do with the Lord, and you are instead confessing that God is not real and that you made a mistake and this and that. And okay, well then you're 1 John 2:19. They went out from us. You used to be part of us, but you really weren't. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be manifest that none of them were of us. I don't know another man's heart. I really don't. But God does. You can fool me. You cannot fool God. Okay? You have done nothing if you've fooled me. All right? But I'm telling you right here, you cannot fool God. And he knows who his sheep are. This is one of my favorite things. This is Dr. Ironsides. He talks about these verses here, and he talks about how, well, I'll just read this to you. Dr. Ironsides said one time a woman came to him in San Francisco where he'd been preaching on John 5. And the woman said, I agree on everything you said tonight except that doctrine about once saved, always saved. I've never found that in the Bible. Dr. Ironsides said, don't you believe the words of the Lord Jesus? Let me show you what he said. And she replies, I know what you're going to turn to, John 10, 28 through 29. And he says, well, he said, so you do know. But let me read the verses to you anyway. So he reads the verses. I give them eternal life, they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. He says, do you believe that? She says, not in your way. He said, what is my way? Well, you believe that if a person is once saved, he can never be lost. So he read it again. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So again, he said to the woman, do you believe this? Not in your way. I'm not telling you my way, he says. I've not explained it at all. And so he read it one more time, and this time instead of eternal life, Dr. Ironsides put in 10 years. What would that mean, he then asked her. Well, it would mean if a person got saved, they'd be saved for 10 years. I love that. I give them 10 years and they shall never perish. What does that mean? I give them 10 years is what it means. Okay, exactly. Now let's say it said that, and I give them, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, and I give them 40 years. And during those 40 years, they shall never perish. What do you think that would mean? And she goes, well, I suppose it would mean that he'd give them 40 years. Dr. Ironsides went on and said, suppose it read, I give them eternal life to them as long as they are faithful. That is what I believe, she replied. But he says, but that's not what it says. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my Father's hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. How long does that mean? It means as long as they remain his sheep. And she turned around and walked away. She was not willing to let the scriptures actually speak for themselves. If we would just take God's word at face value of exactly what it says here, I think this issue would honestly become clear. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. How long is never perish? Never means never. Eternal means eternal. I can't think of a stronger statement than this. The sheep are very safe in Jesus' hand. The sheep are very safe in the Father's hand. There's no power on heaven or earth that can change that. And people still come to me and they say, well, how about if they stop being sheep? You cannot stop being a sheep. You can be a wolf in sheep's clothing, okay? But that means you're not a sheep. It does not mean that you are a sheep and then you change into a wolf and so you're not a sheep anymore. No, you become a sheep as soon as you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And that God has sent him. And all that the word of God says that entails that. If you believe that, you become a sheep. And you cannot now become something else. Once you're a sheep, you know his voice. He knows yours. And he knows you. He knows you. Again, okay, no one snatched him, but I walk away from it. I walk out of his hands. I walk out of his protective care. You can't do that. Remember Romans 8. Nor any created thing. And you're a created being. I'm a created being. I cannot separate myself from the love of Christ once coming to the love of Christ. I can't separate from that. And that's very important. And remember, he says, many will come to him in that day. But he says, I'm going to declare to them, I never knew you. Okay, Dave, so does that mean when I come to Christ, then I can just go ahead and go out and sin all I want and I'm still saved? How many have heard that before, that logic before? How many have said that before? No, I'm not going to ask for those hands. I don't want to make you feel bad. I think I've said that before. The question that I have, say, okay, let me ask you a question. Do you want to go out and sin? Do you want to grieve God? Well, no. Okay, well, that's the point, isn't it? If you're truly a sheep, you're going to want to follow the shepherd. If you're not a sheep, guess what? You're not going to follow his voice. You're not. If you think you're one of his sheep and you don't care that you're out there sinning, I would then challenge you, I don't think you're one of his sheep. But if you're one of his sheep and you go out there sinning, you and I both know you can't really enjoy it. And you feel bad because you know you're not supposed to be doing what you're supposed or you're doing something you know you're not supposed to be doing. And if that's the case, that's how you know you're one of his sheep. Because if you weren't, you wouldn't feel bad about it. You wouldn't feel bad about it. If you sin and you're immediately overwhelmed with sorrow and you repent, then guess what? You're one of his sheep. You hear his voice. You know his voice. You know he's not pleased. And you know you're being convicted, and so you cry out to the shepherd. That shows that you're one of his sheep. I'm not saying that sheep don't sin. Understand that. What I am saying that if you're choosing a lifestyle of sin, and if you're choosing to do your own thing and it doesn't bother you, and you don't hear the shepherd, it's because you're not one of his sheep. That's the only way that can happen. And yes, you're not saved. But if you sin, and even though you're trying to do a lifestyle sin, but you're overwhelmed, you can't enjoy it, you know it's wrong, and the Holy Spirit's convicting, you're one of his sheep. There's no question about it. And he chastises those that he loves. And you wonder why you're on such a short leash, because you really are one of his sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Never can the bounds of neither death nor even
life. We're out of time for today's Wednesday edition of Abiding in the Word. Pastor Dave Love will be back tomorrow to continue our study, Hard Questions, Solid Answers. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Child care is available during all our weekend services. You can also join us for a barbecue and Bible study on Wednesdays at Rhyolite Park, located right here in Castle Rock. The barbecue will begin at 5:30 and then worship and the Word will begin at 6:45. Please be sure to bring a side dish to share. And for young adults, our Arise ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.